Good evening, and I'd like to thank and welcome everyone this evening to a regular meeting of the City of Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission. This is November 16th, 2023 at 6 p.m. We are at the Veterans Memorial Building at 209 Surf Street in Morro Bay, California. Present this evening is Drew Sedaris and June Swell, myself, Ray Purcell, and we are announcing public participation, which is allowed in the following ways. Community members may attend the meeting in person at the Morro Bay Veterans Hall. Alternatively, members of the public may watch the meeting and speak during general public comment or on a specific agenda item by logging into the Zoom webinar using the information provided. Please use the raised hand feature to indicate your desire to provide public comment. There are links associated with this and telephone numbers which will enable you to participate by phone only. Members of the public may watch the meeting either on cable channel 20 or as streamed on the city website. Community members are encouraged to submit agenda correspondence in advance of the meeting via email to advisory board members at rpc@morrobayca.gov prior to the meeting. Agenda correspondence received by 10 a.m. on the meeting day will be posted on the city website. At this time, we're establishing a quorum and a call to order. I see that we do have a quorum, and we are now called to order. Let's take a moment for some silence. And I would like to ask Drew Sedaris to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Are there any announcements or presentations?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll go ahead and let you folks, if you've got some announcements, go ahead and then pass it back to staff and we'll jump on in.
Then moving on to the liaison report from Morro Bay Senior Citizens, Inc.
Hello. I'm Commissioner Sedaris. I've been hanging out with the Senior Citizens, Inc., and everything over there is going really well. They didn't really have any issues they wanted me to bring up at our meeting today. I would like to say I attended some of the Tunes at Tidelands, and those were great events that they put on, real great community projects. And if you check out their website, along with the Morro Bay City website, to see all the stuff that they're doing and all the events and activities that are coming up. So that's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
This is the public comment portion. Members of the audience wishing to address the board on business matters not on the agenda may do so at this time. For those desiring to speak on items on the agenda but unable to stay for the item may also address the board at this time. I see no request for public comment, and so move to the consent calendar, section A and A1, approval of the minutes from Recreation and Parks Commission meeting March 16th, 2023. Any discussion?
No.
A motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes.
And do we have a second?
I second the motion.
Section A2, Recreation Services Division Status Report. The staff recommendation is to receive and file. Is there any question, comment?
No, I'll make the motion to receive and file.
And is there a second?
And I will second the motion.
All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
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 And then moving on to Section A3, I understand that there may be some modifications, and I turn to the director to address those.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There were a couple of math errors I had on some of our participation reports, so I'd like to go ahead and pull those right now, and then we'll bring them back to the commission at our next meeting after we make the adjustments. If I could ask you to remove, excuse me, we're looking at classes and affiliated clubs. March 23 is the first one. Again, recreation classes and affiliated clubs. We'll pull April as well. We'll pull May. And we'll do June and August. Oop, and September. And October. Then moving to our aquatics programs participation reports, we're going to pull the March report as well as April. And then youth and adult sports participation report, we'll remove or we'll pull at this time April. And oops, pardon me. April and May.
Then will those be revisited in the January meeting?
Yes, we'll bring those back to you adjusted in January. Thank you.
And there should be no additional work on item A3 at this point. Is that correct?
That's correct. Just up for your review and motion to receive and file.
Good. Great. Then we're moving on to public hearings. I see that there are none.
Yes. Before we move on, Mr. Chairman, we're going to need to go ahead and have a motion on A3.
Oh, thank you. Is there any discussion on A3 or question?
No.
Do I have a motion? A second.
I move that A3 certain selections be deferred to the January 2024 meeting. And then pass the rest. I don't know what we're passing, mm-hmm. But.
Yes, that's correct.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor of that moving forward to January of 2024, then please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And then again to public hearings, I understand there are none. And then moving on to item C, business items, staff report on parks projects.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we jump into business items, I misspoke, I believe, and staff, we do have some announcements we'd like to share before we move on to business items, if we could do that real quick.
Mm, absolutely. Mm.
Angelica? Okay,
Ken's
up. Oh, Ken's up. And we've got a couple of slides we wanted to show.
Thank you. Yeah, we're on the verge of starting our basketball season. We just put a bunch of the teams together. So on January 13th, the games will kick off for that program. That's most of the announcement I have. Just want to make an announcement for two other items that we don't have flyers for, but we will be hosting a meeting in order to create a new youth sports board for Morro Bay that is our new endeavor. Just so we can try to enhance some of the programs that we offer and create a mechanism that is able to financially support some of the all-star teams that are created after the recreational seasons. We're not able to fund those through like our office because they're competitive in nature, but they do start off as recreational teams. So the sports board should be able to help promote all of our programs, get the word out to the community, fundraise, and just really enhance the quality of what we do for youth sports. The other endeavor that we'll be starting will be to try to get feedback from the community based on adult sports that the community wants to see. So we have a survey that we're about to roll out to everybody in order to see what programs people want to see offered and certain times of year and the makeup of those programs. So we're excited about those two things as well.
Is this a physical board you're talking about?
Yeah.
Sports board?
Yeah, so it would be, you know, a board that had regular meetings, you know, monthly, bi-monthly with, mm-hmm. you know, a president, treasurer, secretary.
Okay. I was thinking of a physical board announcing. Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Thank you, Mr. Zink.
Good evening, commissioners. It's holiday season, so I'm going to just present a few of our holiday events. We are starting with our very first one, which is Friday, December 1st. That will be our annual holiday tree lighting out at City Park. We begin at 3:30. This year, we have the Children of Kids Club performing some carols, and then we also have the Yucca Ladies and the Morbay High School Choir will be performing and then leading a sing-along. And then we'll have some cookies, cider, and we actually have just had the local restaurant Kickers that is going to volunteer to also offer hot cocoa and churros at this event, which is kind of neat. And then we'll wait for Santa, and he'll get there on his red sleigh. And then the next day, what do you have to do? You have to feed Santa. So we'll have our breakfast with Santa here in this building at the Veterans Hall. It's Saturday, December 2nd. We'll do 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And tickets are at pre-sale. It's $10 a ticket, and you get the pancake breakfast, which the local Kiwanis group will be cooking up, and you'll get an entry into the elf workshop with crafts and gift making, gingerbread, house making, hot cocoa, the whole thing. So, we also are doing our December Kids Night Out Christmas Pajama Party. This is an opportunity for parents to drop their kids off with us from 5 to 8. We do childcare, breakfast. We're going to have breakfast for dinner, which is every kid's favorite, and do crafts and things. And, of course, you have to come in your favorite Christmas pajamas. And then as the school starts to close down for the holiday breaks, this year they close the whole week of Thanksgiving, and then 2.5 weeks at Christmas time or at winter time. So we are offering our holiday hangouts, which is basically a holiday camp. The first one's next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It has a Thanksgiving expedition, turkey bowl kind of theme. And then we'll also host one in December, January time for the winter break as well. And that's all we have going.
Thank you for the exciting holiday report.
You're welcome.
Then we are moving on to business items. Item C1, staff report, parks projects.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This will be a verbal report. We've got the Director of Public Works in the house, Greg Qualick. And he's going to talk us through what's taking place at the parks right now. Mr. Qualick. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me, Mr. Carmichael. Thank you for the introduction, and Chair, members of the Rec and Park Commission, thank you for having me here. It's my first time here, so I know some of you, I've met some of you, but it's good to present. Me and Mr. Carmichael are trying to work out some schedule where either myself or someone on my staff can come and give a verbal update at your meetings. So we are putting that together. So I do have some updates on parks around town that I'll give, and I'll take questions after that. We'll talk about Lila Kaiser Park. Actually, some of you may have seen yesterday we had some pretty severe winds in some sections of town. Took down some large branches in Lila Kaiser Park in the parking lot, so we've had to block off part of that parking lot. We hope to have that reopened soon as we're able to get those limbs out of there. Further, we do have a capital project that is going out to bid, hopefully next week. If not next week, then the following week, where we are going to repave Lila Kaiser parking lot. I'm sorry, Lila Kaiser Park parking lot, and we are going to add ADA spaces in that lot. And in general, I think it's going to look a lot cleaner and simpler. We know that parking lot has some challenges when there's softball there on the weekends. It just gets jam-packed. And so we are going to try to do striping in the best way possible where we could fit the most cars in there. Bayshore Bluffs Park, we spent a couple weeks deep cleaning picnic tables, concrete pads, trash cans that are made out of concrete with pressure washers. So that park has been cleaned up significantly. It looks great. In Monte Young, you may be familiar with the very tall fence that's adjacent to the tennis court. Maybe it's about 14 feet tall. And the way it was put up, is there's almost like two chain links going across the same two posts. That probably was not an appropriate construction method. And what we're seeing is that those posts are not able to handle the weight that those chain links have. So we are currently getting quotes to replace that fencing so that it's constructed properly. It's also starting to rust in some areas, and we don't feel that it's a very safe fence at this point. So that is something that we're actively working on. At Del Mar Park, maintenance staff has recently been by to remove branches, and they also pruned some trees around the dog park. Pickleball courts, we are receiving bids on resurfacing the pickleball courts, so it's looking like that project is going to cost around $30,000, and that includes a full resand of the pickleball courts and then some treatment after, and then painting and striping. This is being done at the request of the pickleball group and also funded by the pickleball group, so it's a good partnership we have there. Tennis courts, we have reached out to the manufacturer. There have been several complaints about the courts. We've reached out to the manufacturer of those courts to try to understand what the best method and approach is to rehab them. And really, their recommendation is to place more sand on that court and spread it out, and that will rehabilitate it to what it was. So that is the approach we're taking. The courts themselves are still in good shape. They just need a new layer of sand. So we've already purchased the material. I believe we're still waiting for the material to be delivered. And once we have it, when we get a maintenance crew available to do that, we'll get that done. Coleman Park, as many of you know, we have a vision there to have actually more of a park. Right now, there's sort of some old swing sets and a porta potty and a basketball court that's not in the best shape. And we hope to make that park into something bigger that more folks can use. We took to the PWAB and the City Council a couple of years ago some ideas about amenities we could include there. We're looking at having sort of like a circular plaza or stage. The vision there is there could even be small concerts or small weddings there. And concerts, you know, kayakers could kind of paddle up and listen to, you know, acoustic guitar or whatever. And then we also want to get the tribes involved to have some cultural installments at the park. So we have funding for this park. I think right now our funding is sitting at around $900,000. All of that is either grant funding or park and lieu funds. We were successful in obtaining a Prop 68 grant from the state at $600,000. It was a very competitive grant, and we did get it. We are trying to get one more grant, and that is through the Coastal Conservancy, through their Coastal Stories program, and that specifically would help pay for these tribal cultural installments. So we have had some challenges kind of getting all the tribes together and figuring out whose installment is going to go where. Would it be all in one place, or would each tribe have their own kind of location where they can I guess, have their own space to have a cultural experience for just that tribe. I think we're leaning that way. But we do envision that we'll have to get a tribal consultant to help us kind of navigate those issues. And that, of course, would be grant-funded. A big part of that project, too, would be the dune rehabilitation. Right now, those dunes have ice plant all over them, which is not a native species. So part of the idea is, and this is maybe part of the idea why we believe we'll be competitive for the Coastal Stories grant, is because of that rehabilitation. Little known fact, if you're over there, by that first parking lot, after the paved parking lot, there's the first dirt parking lot, and you see some small little mounds. And if you actually go over there, there's like utility boxes there. If you haven't seen those, you should take a look. Those are actually the old desalination intakes, and they're abandoned, essentially. So we hope we can get enough money to remove those, just because if you are there, you know, you're in this beautiful, picturesque, natural place, and then there's kind of like industrial installations there. So ideally, we'd like to remove those. If we can't, we'll just have to deal with them for a bit longer. But that's Coleman Park. I do just want to call out, too, that we have budgeted around $240,000 for new playgrounds at the parks. We haven't had a chance to implement that yet. But it is something that, you know, we're discussing internally and trying to work into our prioritization. Just full disclosure, we have dozens of capital projects, many of which are, you know, over $100 million, or some have grant deadlines that we have to work at more aggressively. And so we do the best we can to prioritize parks projects because they are important to the community. But we also have some resource constraints in terms of implementation. So I just wanted to let you all know that. That's my report, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Appreciate you taking the time this evening, particularly the detail that you've given to climate resilience in regards to the parks, as we're on the eve of approaching our winter season. I appreciate that diligence. And has there been some discussion with the Filipino community regarding their monument at the Coleman Park area, which relates the story of Captain Unamuno and his landing in either Morro Bay or Estero Bay?
Thank you, Chair. I'd love to talk about that because it's a particular interest of mine to get the Filipino group to move that monument and to make it something more, because again, we do have this money coming in. And I spoke about tribes earlier, and I wasn't fully precise. That includes also the Filipino group, and the Coastal Stories program is understanding of that. And so we have met with representatives from the Filipino group and encouraged them to think of a bigger vision. That if we had some funding and they can kick in some funding, we could have something more than kind of a small rock with a plaque on it that's maybe difficult to read at best. I also am not crazy about the placement of their current monument, because in order to appreciate the monument, you have to stand in the bike path. And that bike path has e-bikes and all sorts of e-scooters and things like that are sometimes going at a high speed. And if you have several folks coming to look at the monument, it's just not a great place for the monument. So, yeah, we have talked to the Filipino group about that. We think we can move it closer to where the swing sets are. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. I think they're happy with what they have because, to their credit, they were able to select a location where their rock that's in the ground, if you are looking at a certain angle, it's like the backdrop is then Morro Rock. It's really a beautiful place, but there are some space constraints there, so they can't really do much more there. But to answer your question shortly, yes, we're trying to get them to do something more with that.
And are there other opportunities for collaboration or funding in the naturalization of that area, removing old desalination infrastructure and removal of ice plant, which can be indomitable?
Yeah, it's a good question. We're relying on the Coastal Conservancy grant for that. There probably are other opportunities. I know, for example, the Morro Bay National Estuary Program would be interested in remediation of that. They're doing that this month on the sand spit. They're actually removing ice plants, I think this week, or maybe it was last week. But right now our big fish is the Coastal Conservancy grant. We think we can maybe get $1.5 million. And, you know, with that budget plus the $900,000, we're looking at a substantial budget for park improvements. And those park improvements would include a new restroom. Just to give you a little background there, as you know, as some of you probably know, the restroom was, like, condemned. It was not in good shape. It's a critical area for a restroom because you have folks walking from the Embarcadero up to the rock, and it's just kind of the midway point. And the Morro Rock restrooms are just not adequate for the amount of use that they get. And so, especially with the Coleman Park restroom gone. So, and particularly for women and children, especially for women, the line going into the women's restroom is just too long. And so our plan at Coleman Park is rather than have a men's and women's section, it will just have four stalls. So, you can be whoever you want to be. You just go into the one single stall. And that way there will be a lot more flow and it'll be more equitable.
Thank you for that excellent report. Are we ready to move on to item C2? I'm sorry.
Yeah. There's kind of a little pier down there by Coleman. Have you looked at maybe improving that for the kayakers? Or
yeah, thank you for the question. To be frank, no. That wouldn't be part of the scope of this project. It could be something we pursue down in the future. I'd want to work with Harbor on that.
Yeah, I was going to say it might be a Harbor Department issue.
I'll say this, though, that the kayakers are at front of mind there, and I know there's been some hubbub in the community that, you know, we're going to take away the – I mean, yeah, no, we're not messing with what the kayakers do and the stand-up paddleboarders. We may make changes to that parking lot that many of them use, but they'll still have access to – I think it's called Mother's Beach. I've heard
it is.
Three different things. But
Mother's Beaches, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for your report. It's very enlightening.
Sure. And I'll just also mention that we've of late been attending the Morro Bay Active Adults meetings, and that's been, I think, very positive. We've opened up some lines of communication there because I know there's been some concerns in the past. And so either I or our new maintenance division manager, Carlos Mendoza, will be in attendance to answer questions and assist. They are like killers at generating revenue, and they want to help the city and they want to help the facilities here. And so obviously we want to take advantage of that and leverage that. There's just a certain way and process by which we have to go about doing that, given state laws, prevailing wage, and how we have to put things out to bid. So, we're all talking about that, and it's been very productive.
And on that subject, so on your website, there's actually a button the public can push if they have concerns about the parks so they can get you that information. Is that correct?
You're my hero for bringing that up because I neglected to. But, yeah, anytime someone has a request for service based on existing infrastructure, not like, oh, please build a Ferris wheel, but hey, I have a pothole in my street. Yes, you can go on our website, morrobayca.gov. There's a service request button. It's a little clunky to use, but once you get the hang of it, it's actually very easy. If you do use it, please set up an account. If you send it in as anonymous and we don't understand the request or we have questions, we have no way of getting more information. So that's all I'd ask.
Okay, so it is your policy to respond to the people so that they get a response from your department? Or
yes, okay. It's you may not get a customized email. It might be an automated response, but you know, that assuming the work is relatively simple, you know, it should be done within a week or so, sometimes sooner than that.
Okay, great.
And if not, folks can email me.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Qualler.
Any other questions or comments?
Not I. Okay, thank you for taking your time.
Are we ready to move on to item C2, adult softball?
Let's move on to item C2. Mr. Zink is going to report for us. Ken?
Thank you. Okay, so this is going back to fall of 2022. We hosted our co-ed fall adult softball program. Games were Monday nights at Lila Kaiser Park from October 24th through December 19th. We had six teams for, I believe it was the first time, and teams played the regular season. It ended in a tournament, and the team that won all the tournament games was crowned the champion and got some end-of-season shirts made to commemorate their victory. That's all I got. I'll take any happy to take any questions from the commission.
Have there been any since the fall of 2022?
Yes. So I have, I think, two or three other seasons to report on as we get through the items. Yeah, so we typically do softball year-round. We just take the winter off. So we have a fall season, a spring season, and a summer season.
And if I could jump in, we're just catching up with a lot of these reports because we haven't had a meeting since March. Pardon me. So this one would have normally fallen on our January or March meeting. However, it was a busy year leading up to those meetings, and this report wasn't available at that time. So we are, again, catching up with a number of reports.
Given that volume, would it be appropriate and correct to perhaps group these receive and file to one motion and vote?
You certainly can. that would work. Mm-hmm. Or take them all, because I know, C14 is different in... really in scope there, so you might want to go ahead and receive and file C1 through C13 once we do get through those reports.
I also neglected to receive and file on the Parks Projects report under C1, and so we'll include those. And for purposes of catching up, let's continue then with the staff reports and items C2 through 13.
That's Mr. Zink one more time.
Thank you very much. So basketball in 23 went from really right after Thanksgiving until March 4th. We opened up the basketball league to first graders for the first time since its inception. Used to be second through eighth grade, so wanted to make it available to more youth and get them started playing young so that they could develop a love and passion for the game. We partnered with the San Luis Obispo YMCA Basketball League in the divisions that we didn't have enough teams to play with just ourselves in a league. So we were able to partner with them to have some interleague games so that our teams wouldn't have to keep playing the same teams over and over again. Our league encompasses Morro Bay, Los Osos, Cayucas, Cambria, and... we increased in numbers a bit. I think we got up to, just about 250 players. And, excited to keep building the basketball program in the Estero Bay area. So I'm happy to take any questions the commission may have on the basketball program.
Yep, sounds good to me.
We can move on to item C4, girls softball 2023.
Okay, me again here. So, yeah, we had our second season of softball back after the pandemic. We went up to 66 players after, I think, 60 in the previous season. We went up to 3 10 and under teams, so that was great. And we ended up forming an all-star team out of the 10 and under division, and so they had a great summer going and playing tournaments. The season starts out with regular games. Most teams typically have a game on the weekday and a game on Saturdays, and it ends with an end of the season tournament. All the games are at a combination of Lila Kaiser Park and the Sunnyside Field in Los Osos, because our coast softball league encompasses, just like with basketball, Morro Bay, Los Osos, Cayucas, Cambria, which differs from our soccer program. So certain sports, we encompass the larger community of the Estero Bay area, and this happens to be one of them. I'm excited about where our softball program's going, and I'm happy to take any questions the commission has.
Very good. Item C5, Holiday Hangout, Brick Challenge Camp.
Okay, I'm going to go up next. As I mentioned before, we host holiday camps during the holiday breaks, so I'm now reporting on spring of 2023. The San Luis Coastal takes a week off for spring break, so we offered a five-day camp that spring. This time, this is our first of ever. We referred to it as a Brick Challenge Camp, but bricks you also may know as Legos, but when I do a flyer, I can't put Legos on there, so we go with bricks. But this was neat. I noticed that kids just love Legos. They love building. It has so many components to it, like mentally, educationally. I mean, there's just so many different things that we go with along with that, and it's for everyone. So this camp was based on only building. So everything we did, every craft we did, every activity we did, even our outside games, everything we did had to do with the bricks. It was a well-attended. We had about 32 campers a day, which is one of our larger holiday hangout camps. And I think it was because of the nature of the camp that it was based on these bricks. It was based on building. We had people who we've never had at our camps before, so that was neat. We'll definitely run that again next spring. Registration revenue was up because of the amount of kids. Of course, our staffing always costs, but that was really my only cost because the bricks, I asked families to donate bricks because kids have a lot of Legos. And with one email out to our families, I received 5 tubs of Legos that we were able to use. So that was great. So kids got to build, take things home. It was a nice recycling of these things as well. Any questions on Brick Camp?
I'm sure those families were happy to have had those Legos removed from their carpeted areas.
And then sent back home.
and the recycling of the plastic products to keep them out of our ocean and bay. I'd like to recognize also the developmental appropriateness that you bring to your report and also the aspect of the brick challenge, more generically, as a STEM item.
Yes.
Any other question or comment?
What ages?
4 to 12, so school age. You have to be enrolled in a school program. So 4-year-olds will go to transitional kindergarten, and 12 is about fifth grade.
If there are no other questions or comments regarding item C5, we'll move on to C6, adult softball, spring 2023.
Thank you. This one's going to be very similar to the last one. Six teams from March 20th through May 22nd, all on Monday nights at Lila Kaiser Park, our co-ed softball program, regular season games and the tournament. And that's the wrap. So happy to answer any questions from the commission.
I see no comments or questions. And so thank you for the brevity of your report. Moving on to item C7, staff report, futsal.
Thank you. So futsal, if you don't know what futsal is, it's an indoor version of soccer. So we really were receiving a lot of feedback that people wanted us to start this program back up. I know they had traditionally offered it during various times of the year, so we had picked the springtime to do the futsal program, which is after our basketball season ends. So we're really only competing with the baseball and softball programs as far as participation for youth. So that might have, you know, made us have a little bit of hit as far as the numbers went for participation. But we're really trying to, you know, continue to develop this program. It's a great way for the kids that are, you know, really into soccer to keep playing on more of a year-round basis. And this one is in the gym, so, you know, weather permits it all year. I'm really looking forward to continue to grow the futsal program here in Morro Bay. So happy to answer any questions the commission may have.
Excellent. Moving on to item C8, Mermaid, Sea Creature, and Pirate Parade 2023.
We held our 15th annual Mermaid, Sea Creature, and Pirate Parade on May 13th. This is an annual parade we have. It started very small by former Mayor Janice Peters. She was the original creator of this event, and we've continued it on. We co-host it with Mark Cognizini from Dockside. He provides the party. We do all the other part. This year, we did have to move the date because of Iron Man coming to Morro Bay, and that may have, I think, affected just how it falls on the normal calendar with other things going on. I want to say that might have been Mother's Day weekend, and that kind of affects things too. So people out of town. But we did have about 105 participants. Of course, they all bring an adult with them, so you have to up those numbers. This is a simple event that we host, and it's something that I think is just a tradition in Morro Bay, so we'll continue to host this. Any questions on this?
Is there a dress-up?
Yeah, mermaid, pirate, or a sea creature, if you'd like.
I noticed the term Kraken was removed. Okay.
I have to call it sea creature.
Gotcha. Yeah. Thank you.
Because it could be any creature from the sea. You could, you know, big giant crab or yep, whatever you want to be.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Here we go. Good marine biology.
Yeah.
Staff report then, flag football 2023.
Thank you. So flag football is near and dear to my heart. It's kind of my baby. I am a huge fan of flag football. It's a safe alternative to the tackle football that a lot of kids play. It's a non-collision version of the game of football where you just have to pull a flag instead of tackling. So I've found it to be a safe alternative that parents are much more inclined to enroll their kids in. So this year was our second season. We had first graders through eighth graders over summer. It's all Friday evenings at Lila Kaiser Park. So it's a little bit more relaxed in nature than some of the other programs. Families are able to really soak up the great atmosphere on Friday evenings out there, you know, pull up a lawn chair and kick back and enjoy the games. And I found that it does offer a great chance at success for a wide range of players. It's all co-ed on the team, so boys and girls on the same team. And, you know, anybody can grab a football and run down the field. So I've really found that kids are apt to enjoy the game. And we had a little bit of increase from the first season to the second season, so I'm excited to see the program continue to grow and really have its own little community of coaches and players that are passionate about it, and it can feed right into the high school program. We actually were able to have not only our playoffs at the high school to wrap up the season, but then once our playoffs were over, we had a halftime demonstration for, I think it was a second home game at Morro Bay. So two of our teams in the youngest division, the Pee Wee division, got to play under the lights with a screaming fan base for the Morro Bay Pirates. It was amazing. Yeah, it was really cool. So happy to answer any questions the commission has about that program.
No, I think that's a great program. And back in the olden days when I was a kid, I also liked flag football.
Me too. Played every day after school.
It's good that we're being mindful of collision sports and traumatic head injuries and so forth, particularly with regards to younger and head heavier people. So I hear no other questions or discussion regarding flag football. Moving on then to item C10, Junior Lifeguards 2023.
Okay, yeah, this was our second year again back from the pandemic of the Junior Lifeguard program. We had four sessions over summer. After we did the lifeguard and training program for our staff after for a week, four two-week sessions every day, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. I am very proud of an outstanding staff that we have of young lifeguards that are all Title 22 and USLA certified lifeguards out there. Safety is paramount in this program when you're working with the rough conditions at Mora Rock. So we're lucky enough to have an outstanding coordinator named Sierra Emmerich and her team of outstanding lifeguards. It's a great program for life skills for youth to look up to older lifeguards, and then through the program learn some first aid, CPR, and life-saving techniques, and really to get more comfortable around the ocean, which is extremely important out here in Mora Bay. They also have a lot of fun. They compete, and there's competitions at the end, and boogie boarding, surfing, a bunch of beach related activities. We even brought out a soccer ball for some beach soccer this year. There's also a harbor ops day where the harbor department takes them out on the boat. We also work with Cayucas to do a Cayucas competition day where their junior lifeguard program comes down and competes with us. And we're excited to continue to become part of the bigger junior lifeguard program that's kind of going up and down the coast of California, looking to establish some connections between the Avalo lifeguard program, Pismo, and start to kind of grow what we're able to do for the end of the summer competitions for the junior lifeguards, and hopefully send some of our kids to the bigger competitions, and so that they can try to reach a bigger goal. That was we did see our numbers slightly drop just a little bit, and so we're trying to figure out, there's a free summer school program that is offered concurrently with the junior lifeguard program. So just trying to figure out what the best way to continue to promote and increase the participation in the junior lifeguard program as we move forward here. So happy to answer any questions from the commission.
How are we doing for lifeguards? Is the resource pool improving?
I think as far as the beach lifeguards over summer, I don't think we have a shortage in that. I think the shortage is more so the pool during the during the hours when the students are in school. So with our aquatic center, the most difficulty that we have is staffing during school hours. We find that during the summer, a bunch of high school students want to lifeguard and work and get hours, but the one gap that we sometimes have a challenge to fill is getting lifeguards during when they're in school. And Kirk can add more about that too if he has anything.
What do we pay? Is that something that's reasonable to discuss the ranges?
Yeah, Ken's right with the challenges. They're nationwide with lifeguarding, as I think you were alluding to, Commissioner Purcell. Our pay is competitive, we're finding, throughout the county. As a matter of fact, there was a meeting it was earlier this week or last week with agencies from all the way from Lompoc to Paso Robles met in San Luis Obispo to discuss this as one of the topics of pay rates, but also of training too. And that's a challenge that we have here in the county as well. Lack of certified, lifeguard instructor trainers. So we have and lifeguard in. Lifeguard trainers, I guess I'd say, through Red Cross. It's a challenge when we don't have people to draw on to offer the classes, and then the challenge also is to provide those classes at a time where the young people can participate. So yes, our pay rates are competitive. Actually, we pay a little better than City of San Luis Obispo. At least we did. I don't know how it's going to change next year, but that is one of our challenges.
Yeah. And with the junior lifeguard class, they're certified to be lifeguards. Does that give them a certificate?
Yeah, so the participants in that program, they do not get certified. They're too young. In order to be a beach lifeguard, you must be 16 years old. So by that time, most of the children have participated in the program, and then they're too old to continue to participate, so they either drop off or they do become beach lifeguards.
How old are they for the class, the junior lifeguard class?
Between 9 and 14.
Oh, right, they're young, yeah.
And at 14, we'll take them as volunteers. At 15, we'll take them as a paid staff but not a certified lifeguard. Mm-hmm. And then 16, we go ahead and certify them.
Hearing no questions or discussion, we're moving on to item C11 and staff report on adult softball for summer 2023.
Thank you. So for the summer softball, same thing. We had games on Monday nights at Lila Kaiser Park, and the season went from June 5th through August 7th. Regular season and a softball tournament at the end, and the winners were given end of season awards, and that's all I got. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Any questions or discussion?
No, thanks.
Moving on to item C12, 4th of July Family Fun Day.
Okay, that's back to me. We hosted, I don't know exactly which number this Family Fun Day is, but we hosted Family Fun Day on 4th of July. It's very similar to our previous programs. We had music performers, an opener, a main band, magician, and all of the carnival, bounce house, face painting, lawn games, and Kiwanis did the food. They were the food vendors. We partnered with them, and we've been working a lot with that group, and they did hot dogs and hamburgers as one of their big fundraisers, and we had them do that, which, I mean, hot dogs and hamburgers are 4th of July. So let's see. This year, I'd say we had about 2,500 people. It was a big one. We also have the Three Stacks and a Rock come out, and they host the beer garden, which I know they love to do as well. So that's kind of nice. And then, of course, staffing again is a cost, the performers and all of those things. This year I did just one band, and last time I had two bands, and then my opener was actually a local graduate from Templeton High School who did the opening and then sang the national anthem for us. So that was kind of, and I believe she's also a lifeguard for us, I think. So, and we did have a couple donations from the city attorney's office, and then we sold wristbands and carnival and snow cones as well for fundraising for the children's program. So,
yeah, the Kiwani hot dog is unrivaled. and the Star Spangled Banner was absolutely gorgeous. She is a very talented musician with incredible future, I'm sure, ahead of her. And I noticed the magic show was very interactive and really brought the kids forward. And so that was a wonderful activity. Is there any other question or comment with regards to 4th of July?
Is it planned for a repeat?
Yes. Yes. It's on my calendar already.
The Harbor Department was particularly mindful of the water Cannon?
Yes.
And passing boaters.
Yeah, good to know.
It just kind of like waiting for somebody to drive into a hay bale. Moving on to the Rock to Pier. Item C13.
Thank you. So this was the 53rd annual Brian Waterbury Memorial Rock to Pier Run. And this year we brought back the half marathon component to the event. So we definitely saw an increase in participation because of that, I believe. We had 829 participants with 158 doing the half marathon. So for the half marathon, they run from the Rock to the Caicos Pier, and then they run back and take a detour through Cloisters Park so that they can get to that half marathon distance. It was a great event. We had the Garden Party Band as our performers for the post-race breakfast. And so after the run is over, you get your post-race breakfast provided by the Kiwanis, which is another unrivaled breakfast that they do with their sausage patties and pancakes and juice and fruit. With the growth, I think we just need to restructure some of the logistics of the race, maybe just have a little bit more preparedness as far as staff with the check-in line. We have a lot of people, and so with the lifeguards being stationed out on the route just to ensure, safety being first, we have all our staff out there, just in case anything happens. I think, one of the things that we can improve for this year is just making sure that we're prepared for the large number of participants that we had. Other than that, it was great. I want to give a shout out to the Fitness Works, who leads the warm up for the event. So we were able to partner with the local gym, Fitness Works. It's really just an outstanding tradition here in Morro Bay for the runners in the community and for all the people that are able to travel from, all over the state and the country to participate in the race. Just talking to people, you meet a bunch of people from out of state and overseas, it's really just a great event to showcase the area here.
And I see that Kitsman Culligan also provided water.
That's correct. Thank you for mentioning that too. Yeah, they've been partners with the race for years now too, and donate water for us too, because we have a good amount of water stations throughout the route.
Do we have to make any particular accommodations for recycling during these kinds of events?
So we bring in additional dumpsters for trash and recycling. That's how we do it. And we also have event receptacles for trash and recycling. So we're able to make sure that we're collecting all the recyclables.
And I'm looking to see the cost recovery.
So we did 135.5%. Right. So we were able to, trying to set the price for the half marathon, was working with the timing company, and where I thought it should be, he was saying, I think that's a little bit low. So just looking at the cost recovery, I think we could probably make it a little bit more affordable according to those numbers. So I'll probably try to revisit that when I set the pricing for the next year's event.
I think it's very reasonable to approach a more gentle cost increase with just kind of getting back into that program, into the event.
Sure. Yeah, it was a bit difficult to anticipate with the scale and I guess just the half marathon what the costs associated with would be. So I think we have an ability to provide more to the participants of the event. Like for example, this year we also neglected to mention that we had Captivating Photos, which is a photography company, come in and take event photos for us so that we were able to make those photos available to all the participants. You can even look up your last name and see all the pictures that had you in them based on your bib number. They were able to cross-reference that, and they have, a bunch of cool kind of overhead shots and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was a good good offering for the participants.
Any other questions or comments on the on item C13? So we're looking at items C1 through 13 at this point, and should there be no other question or comment, can I have a motion to approve for receipt and filing of those reports?
Other than that change on C3, do we have to? We just took that out, didn't we? So.
Correct.
Okay. So I move that we receive and file business items C1 through C13 and file.
I hear a motion by June Swall.
I second the motion.
And then all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none opposed, receive and file. And then item C14, we need a vice chair.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to jump in real quick and breach Robert's rules of order and make a quick mention before we jump into C14. I wanted to mention that there are two seats that will be there was one seat open right now, open and available due to Commissioner Davis's departure, and then Commissioner Carroll's seat is up in January. So we're looking for, or excuse me, we will be opening the application period within the next couple of weeks. So if you have anybody that you might know is interested in joining our commission, please mention it to them. And then I'll, of course, speak to Mr. Carroll about re-upping again. But I just wanted to make that announcement and make it be known that that two seats will be available and open as a start of next year. And then with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Chairman, to go ahead and work us through the procedures of nomination.
I would need a parliamentarian, I think, to give me recommendation on how to proceed with this. Given the openings, recruitment before us, and terming out, and perhaps what we may need to do is put this into a future agenda item. Until we can, is there a better way forward with this?
I think they want us to just elect a vice chair. I think that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I lost you there. Regard to just the seats that are available right now, Commissioner Davis's seat, and then Commissioner Carroll, which will be open at the first part of next year. The application process is going to open up for that.
So then, essentially, Mr. Carroll would not be eligible to vice chair.
That's safe to say, yes.
Given that time frame.
Correct.
And so that would then come down to either Commissioners Drew Sedaris or June Swall.
I nominate Mr. Sedaris.
Can I second myself?
You have to call in the parliamentarian for consultation on this.
So, Mr. Chairman, if you look at the staff report, then the procedures are written there. So there's three steps. And you open the floor to nominations, which we just had heard. So step two would be to close and then complete complete a motion to close the nominations.
So we have... according to procedure one, we have a nominee, and then do we have a motion to make a vote on the nominee?
I move that we vote on the nominee, Sedaris.
And I see that if only one person is nominated to an office or nominations are closed, that nominee is declared the new officer by acclamation. And so I don't believe any additional work needs to be done
Just the motion to close the nominations per procedure number two.
And did I hear a motion?
You did.
I thought so. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the motion has been made. Do we need to vote at this point?
Yeah.
It sounds like there's been acclamation.
The procedures are, and this is just getting technical, but the motion is to close the nomination period, and then the number three is that the chair calls for a vote. But
okay.
As you did note, because there's only one person nominated, Drew takes that, Commissioner Sedaris does take that vice chair position, so we're all set there.
Work is done then.
Work will be done, sure.
Good. Okay. Future agenda items. Then we're coming back to revisiting item A3 in January.
Yes, we'll go ahead and just provide those participation reports as part of our consent agenda. It'll be listed under A3 once again, and we'll go ahead and make notation as to which ones were pulled and then corrected, along with the other participation reports that we would normally provide.
Okay. And then are there any other future agenda items? Then we are in adjournment, and this will be the next regular Recreation and Parks Commission meeting at 6 p.m. Thursday, January 18th. I believe that will be 2024. And again, held here in the Veterans Memorial Building of 209 Surf Street, Morro Bay, California, 93442. This agenda is subject to amendment up to 72 hours prior to the date and time set for the meeting. Please also refer to the agenda posted at the Morro Bay Community Center at 1001 Kennedy Way for any revisions, or call Recreation Services at 805-772-6278 for further information. Materials related to an item on this agenda submitted to the Commission after distribution of the agenda packet are available for public inspection upon request by calling Recreation Services, again at area code 805-772-6278. In compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, if you need special assistance to participate in a city meeting, please contact Recreation Services at least 24 hours prior to the meeting to ensure reasonable accommodation can be made to provide accessibility to the meeting. This agenda is available for copying at the Morro Bay Public Library. Seeing no further work, I believe we are adjourned at 7:08.